Welcome to His Word Heals. Is the story of Queen Esther, Mordecai, and Purim prophetic of events to take place during the Great Tribulation at the end of this age? Hopefully you are all familiar with the Book of Esther, in which the story of Purim is told. Today I'm going to summarize and compare events in the Book of Esther with events foretold in the Book of Revelation. We are also going to briefly look at two blood moons coming up 2 years in a row on Purim both years. Remember, we are told that the sun, moon, and stars were put in the heavens to mark his signs and seasons. Yeshua actually called those that did not know the day of their visitation or signs of the times, and there were signs in the heavens back then as well, hypocrites. Let's keep an open mind regarding the signs in the heavens. They are just that, signs showing coming events, but those events don't have to happen on the days of the signs themselves. The wise men didn't show up following the star until about 2 years after Yeshua was born, did they? We've also done a series of videos on Purim and Esther and the signs in the heavens coming up over the next several years in a video called Revelation Signs in the Heavens, 80 Years If Due to Strength, which you can visit our website at www.hiswordheals.com to watch all of those for free. This is just going to be a short summary of all of those. Okay, back to Purim. We know a decree was written up by Haman to annihilate all of the Jews throughout Persia and was signed with the king's signet ring. In Esther
chapter 8, verses 3 through 17, Esther asked for a decree for the destruction of her people to be revoked, but the king informs her that it cannot be revoked. Once the king's decree went out, no one could change it. But the king suggests that Esther and Mordecai write a new decree since they were given the king's signet ring. Their new decree, written in the king's name, announced to all the people in the king's provinces that the Jews were to cut off, kill, and destroy the power of the people or province that would distress or come against them, all of their enemies. Runners on horseback riding royal horses spread the decree. Mordecai went out from the king wearing royal garments. The Yehudim had light, joy, and gladness, a feast and a good day. Many in the land became Yehudim, for the fear of the Yehudim had fallen upon them. Mordecai went out from the king wearing royal garments. Yeshua is coming back wearing royal garments. The Yehudim had light and joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. There will be a feast, the feast of the bride and groom, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Many in the land became Yehudim, for the fear of the Yehudim had fallen upon them. Isn't that the goal for those of the nations who don't know Yeshua and don't declare Yahweh as Elohim, that they would be converted, so to speak, or become followers of Yeshua, be born again? In summary of Esther chapter 9, verses 1 through 14, the king's officials helped Mordecai's people for fear of Mordecai. Perhaps the fear of Yeshua will come upon many in power during the tribulation, and they will help Yahweh's set-apart ones. The Yehudim had victory and killed many of their enemies as well as Haman's 10 sons all in one day. Esther asked and was granted another decree that what was done to their enemies that day would be done again the next day, including hanging Haman's already dead 10 sons. Revelation 18:2, and he cried with a mighty voice, saying, Babel the Great is fallen, that would be a double fall, just as the enemies of Mordecai had double repaid to them. First one day they were destroyed, and Haman's 10 sons were killed, and the next day more of them were destroyed again, just like the first day, and Haman's 10 sons, which were already dead, were hanged. Revelation 18:6, render to her as she indeed did render, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix for her double. So Haman's 10 sons were also hung on wooden structures, just as Haman was hung on a wooden structure, and he intended that wooden structure
for Mordecai.
So it was rendered to him double. 2 days of destruction, 2 hangings on wooden structures. The Book of Esther is all about doubles. There were 2 decrees of destruction, one against the Jews and then one against those that would come against the Jews. Haman and his 10 sons were both hung on the wooden structure. Haman's 10 sons were killed and then they were also hung. The decree to destroy those that would come against Mordecai's people was given 2 days in a row. There were 2 letters written about Purim. The 2 days of Purim were to be celebrated, were decreed for all the Jews and those that would join them every year for 2 days. Now we're going to take a look at double Purim blood moons coming in 2025 and 2026. So what might be the significance of these double Purim blood moons in 2025 and 2026? Well, we're going to explain our theory. According to our theory regarding the Psalms 90, 80 years if due to strength generation, ending in 2028, 80 years after Israel again became a nation on the world scene, to which we add the Revelation timeline working backwards from the seventh trump sounding during the fall feasts of 2028, the third trump would be blown during the fall feast of the year 2024, just after the second great American eclipse takes place over the United States on Nisan 1 during April of 2024, and just before the first Purim blood moon in March of 2025. So, the first of two Purim blood moons 2 years in a row occurs just after the second great American total eclipse that completes an X right over an area known as Little Egypt in southern Illinois. If that isn't interesting enough, let's see what would be taking place during this time period if the third trump were to indeed sound at this time, right after the second total Great American Eclipse and right before the first of double Purim blood moons. If you have not had a chance to watch our video called 80 Years If Due to Strength, that might be helpful for you to watch to see where this theory comes from and to make sense of what we're about to discuss. The event which take place after the third trump, according to Revelation, are as follows. The third trump occurs on Yom Kippur 2024, starting the fourth year, which leads up to Yom Kippur 2025, Revelation 12:9-13. And the great dragon was thrown out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who leads all the world astray. He was thrown to the earth, and his messengers were thrown out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now have come the deliverance and the power and the reign of our Elohim, and the authority of his Messiah, for the accuser of our brothers, who accused them before our Elohim day and night, has been thrown down. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, and because of the word of their witness, and they did not love their lives to death. Because of this, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he has little time. And when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Revelation 13:5-10. And he was given a mouth, speaking great matters and blasphemies, and he was given authority to do so for 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against Elohim, to blaspheme his name and his tent and those dwelling in the heaven. And it was given to him to fight with the set apart ones and overcome them. And authority was given to him over every tribe and tongue and nation, and all those dwelling on the earth whose names have not been written in the book of life of the slain Lamb from the foundation of the world shall worship him. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who brings into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword has to be killed with the sword. And the signs in the heaven occurring during this fourth year after the third trump are the first blood moon, which occurs on Purim. There are two blood moons on Purim in a row. The first one is March 14th, 2025, during the fourth year after the third trump. I believe that Purim is a picture of Revelation 13:5-10, and Revelation 13:5-10 is pointing back to Purim. And it's interesting that these blood moons are in the sky on Purim 2 years in a row here. Then after the first Purim blood moon, we have September 7th, 2025, we have another blood moon. This is the 15th of Elul during the 40 days of repentance leading up to Yom Kippur. Well, referring back to the end of that scripture in Revelation that I just read, where Yeshua says, he who brings into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with a sword has to be killed with a sword. Could that actually be Yeshua making a proclamation that those that the Antichrist or Anti-Messiah is coming against, like Haman was coming against the Jews, are now allowed to fight back, and those that are coming against them to kill them will be killed? I'll go over that more later, but first, Revelation 11:2-6. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the
God of the earth, and if any man will hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devours their enemies, and if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. So this happens the last 3.5 years of the 7 years tribulation, and so a lot of the plagues, obviously, that come in the last 3.5 years will be the doing of these two witnesses, which start after the third trump, before the fourth trump. And of course, that is the same time as the first Purim blood moon again, March 14th, 2025, and another blood moon in 2025 on Elul 15 during the 40 days of repentance leading to Yom Kippur. The mark of the beast. Yes, that is also after the third trump. So after the third trump in the fourth year before the fourth trump. The mark of the beast being mandatory, I believe, comes during the fourth year. And according to the 80-year timeline, 80-year generation timeline, that would occur between Yom Kippur 2024 and Yom Kippur 2025. So now we're heading into the last 3.5 years. We just went over part of the first part of that, when the witnesses start and when the abomination of desolation is set up. And these signs in the heavens are quite interesting, that they're Purim and Elul blood moons, and then another Purim blood moon in 2025. So it's two in a row. The fourth trump. So now we're going to read the scriptures about the fourth trump, which happens on Yom Kippur in 2025 on this time chart. Starts the fifth year leading up to Yom Kippur 2026. So in Revelation 8, 12 through 13, we see the heavens are darkened. It's interesting to note that this is the last blood moon until the last day of 2028. Sometime during this time period, the abomination of desolation happens. The woman heads to the wilderness. People are protected in the wilderness. And again, after the fourth trump, during the fifth year, we have the second blood moon during Purim, on Purim, and we have another solar eclipse, total solar eclipse, the first of Elul, the 40 days of repentance again. Okay, back to Esther. Now let's superimpose the book of Esther over the events of the tribulation and the trumps. We had the second trump and the third year, during which Babylon falls. Then we have the third trump. During the fourth year, we have the abomination of desolation, where the anti-Messiah sets up the abomination of desolation and wants everyone to bow down to him as God. Let's look at Esther 3, 1 through 2. Haman is promoted, just as the anti-Messiah is promoted. Mordecai the Jew would not bow to Haman, and this infuriated Haman. Haman wanted everyone to bow to him. Most did, but Mordecai would not. Is Haman a picture of the anti-Messiah who sets himself up as God and wants everyone to bow to him, and Mordecai a picture of Yahweh's people who will not bow to him? Esther 3, 7 through 12. Haman cast lots, or Pur, in the first new moon, the new moon of Nisan, and month to month and day to day, until the lot fell on the 12th month of Adar, the month of Purim. So Haman was seeking signs and omens as to the best time to approach the king to ask for the decree to annihilate the Jews. When the lot fell during the month of Purim, Haman approached the king and asked the king to make the decree to annihilate the Jews. The decree was written the 13th of the following month, the month of Nisan, the day before Passover. Then in Esther 3:13, letters are sent out to kill and destroy the Jews, young and old, children and women, in one day, the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Purim. Esther 4:1-3. Mordecai tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes. The Jews also mourned, fasted, and wept, and lay in sackcloth and ashes. So let's look at the signs in the heavens during this time. During the fourth year, the year of the abomination of desolation and the anti-Messiah setting himself up as God, we have a blood moon, the first of two actually in a row, on the 14th day of Adar, which is Purim, followed by another blood moon the same year, 2025, in September, during the 40 days of repentance leading up to Yom Kippur. So is the Purim blood moon warning of this decree to annihilate Yahweh's people, and the blood moon during the 40 days of repentance leading up to Yom Kippur a warning for us to repent as Mordecai did, to tear our clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes, and to repent as we do on Yom Kippur, or leading up to Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement, the Day of Judgment? Continuing with our comparison of Purim and Queen Esther to Revelation, and during the time of the first and second Purim blood moons, beginning at mid-tribulation point during year 4 after the third trump. We have Revelation 13, 5 through 10. And he was given a mouth speaking great matters and blasphemies, and he was given authority to do so for 42 months. Wasn't Haman given authority and had a great mouth speaking blasphemies, wanting everyone to bow down to him? And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against Elohim to blaspheme his name and his tent and those dwelling in the heaven. It was given to him to fight with the set apart ones and to overcome them, and authority was given to him over every tribe and tongue and nation. That is what was given to Haman. He was given authority over Yahweh's people, over all of the Jews in all of the provinces of the king's authority at that time. He was given authority to fight with them and to annihilate them, and this is what the anti-Messiah is going to be given authority over the set apart ones at the time to come, beginning during the mid-tribulation point. And all those dwelling on the earth whose names have not been written in the book of life of the slain lamb from the foundation of the world shall worship him. Isn't that what everyone but Mordecai did, was bow down and worshipped Haman? If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who brings into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword has to be killed with the sword. So if you're familiar with the Purim story, Queen Esther went before the king. Once she found out that her people, because Queen Esther was a hidden Jew, the king did not know that she was Jewish. She was hidden behind a pagan name, Esther. Her real name was Hadassah, but she did come before the king and found favor in the king's eyes and revealed her true identity to the king. It came to be on the third day, interesting as well, that Esther put on royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's palace in the front of the king's house while the king sat on his royal throne in the royal house opposite the entrance of the house. And it came to be when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court that she found favor in his eyes. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter which was in his hand, and Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter. So after the people had repented, put on sackcloth and ashes, Esther went before the king unsummoned, found favor in the king's eyes. She told him what was happening, that Haman was trying to destroy her and her people. The king told Esther, and Mordecai gave him the king's signet ring, destroyed Haman, and told Queen Esther and Mordecai that the decree that had gone out to destroy the Jews could not be revoked. However, they were in authority now to create a new decree, and the new decree that they created was the authority of the Jews to fight back, to kill those that came against them, to go against those that come against them with the sword and kill them with the sword, basically. As in Revelation, he who brings into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword has to be killed with the sword. Is this actually a decree against those that would come against Yahweh's people during the tribulation at the midpoint and forward, that those that would come against his people will be killed with the sword as they come against his people with the sword? Just like in the book of Esther, in the Purim story, there was a decree that went out that the Jews could defend themselves and that they could kill all of their enemies with the sword that came against them with the sword. Esther 8:11 through 13, that the king has granted to the Yehudim who are in every city to be assembled and stand for their lives, to cut off, to kill, and to destroy all the power of the people or province that would distress them, little children and women, and to plunder their possessions in one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus on the 13th day of the 12th new moon, which is the new moon of Adar, Purim. The copy of the writing to be made law in every province was announced to all the peoples so that the Yehudim would be ready on that day to be avenged of their enemies. So this proclamation in Revelation sounds very similar to the proclamation that went out through all of King Ahasuerus' provinces. Esther 8:17, and in every province and in every city where the king's command and decree came, the Yehudim had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land were becoming Yehudim, for the fear of the Yehudim had fallen upon them. Is this the whole purpose? The fear of the Yehudim, the fear of Yahweh's people, the fear of Yahweh will come upon all those that were set to come against Yahweh's people, and so then they turn and become joined to Yahweh's people. That's what happened in the days of Purim. Isn't that the goal of Yahweh and the goal of end times, is to have people turn to the true one and only creator Elohim of heaven and earth? Revelation 13, 7 through 10 again, just remember this, he who brings into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword has to be killed with the sword. Esther 9, 1 through 3, and in the 12th new moon, that is the new moon of Adar, on the 13th day, which again is Purim, when the sovereign's command and his decree came to be done on the day that the enemies of the Yehudim had waited to overpower them, it turned around so that the Yehudim overpowered those who hated them. Is this what's going to happen at the midpoint of the tribulation when the anti-Messiah comes against Yahweh's people, that they are to turn and overpower those that come against them through the power of our Messiah, Yeshua? The Yehudim assembled in their cities throughout all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to lay hands on those who sought their evil, and no one stood against them because fear of them fell upon all the people and all the officials of the provinces and the viceroys and the governors and all those doing the king's work helped the Yehudim because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. Is the fear of Mordecai a picture of the fear of Yeshua, who comes back to rule and reign with a rod of iron and comes back in vengeance against his enemies? Esther 9:5, and the Yehudim struck all their enemies with the stroke of the sword, with killing and destruction, and did what they pleased to those who hated them. Esther 9:13-18, and Esther said, if it pleases the king, let it be given to the Yehudim who are in Shushan to do again tomorrow according to today's decree, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged on the wooden structure. And the king commanded this to be done. And the Yehudim who were in Shushan also assembled on the 14th day of the new moon of Adar, and they killed 300 men at Shushan, and the rest of the Yehudim in the king's provinces assembled and stood for their lives and to get rest from their enemies. That was on the 13th day of the new moon of Adar, and on the 14th they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. But the Yehudim who were at Shushan assembled on the 13th day as well as on the 14th day, and on the 15th day they rested in it and made it a day of feasting and gladness. So I find it completely interesting that after the abomination of desolation is set up and the anti-Messiah goes after, is given a decree, he goes after the set apart ones of Yahweh, we have two Purim blood moons in a row in 2025 and 2026. In the middle of those two Purim blood moons, there is a blood moon during the 40 days of repentance leading up to Yom Kippur. Then after the third blood moon, the second Purim blood moon, we have a total solar eclipse on the first day of Elul, again 40 days of repentance. Is this giving time to those who would come against the set apart ones of Yahweh, time to repent, a warning to repent before it's too late? And then of course the two Purim blood moons mark the last 2 years that are coming of the tribulation. And during Purim, they came against those enemies of Yahweh's set apart people for 2 days, and then they feasted with gladness on the third day. Interesting timing, to say the least. Definitely, I think, something to watch for. And isn't this a new look at this scripture that says, he who brings into captivity shall go into captivity, he who kills with the sword shall be killed with the sword? Traditionally, the Christian view of this is that Christians are not to take up a sword, they're not to defend themselves, because if they do, then they're going to die by the sword. Perhaps, as with the Purim story, this declaration is actually against those that would come against Yahweh's people with the sword, that they are the ones who will be killed with sword.
Before we close out today's program, let's do a recap. Esther and the Purim story have lots of doubles. There are double Purim blood moons coming up in 2025 and 2026. These double Purim blood moons occur right after the second Great American Total Solar Eclipse on Nisan 1, the first day of the month of Passover in 2024, just before these double Purim blood moons. Haman began casting Pur or lots on Nisan 1. This second total solar eclipse completes an X directly over Little Egypt in the U.S. The double Purim blood moons correspond with the midway point of the 7-year tribulation if 2028 is the 7th year.
I really hope that this message and this comparison that we see in the book of Esther is helping to give everyone courage for what will be coming someday upon the earth, for the destruction that HaSatan has planned for Yahweh's people. We should not fear. We are told not to fear. And we can see that according to the prophetic pictures in Queen Esther, everything will work out for those that have faith in Yeshua, faith in Yahweh, who come to him with their petitions. There is a plan worked out for our ultimate victory over over the wiles of the devil, as they say. And so we should not fear. Oh, we need to be in the scripture, immersed in the scripture, immersed in prayer. There will come a time of fasting and prayer that all of us will need to participate in. And there will come a time of deliverance where Yeshua will deliver his people. That cross of destruction is actually the cross of destruction for the enemy. And we just need to have our faith in what was done so long ago on that wooden structure, what Yeshua did for us by overcoming the destruction on the wooden structure and becoming resurrected, raised from the dead to be victorious over the enemy, Hasatan, just as Mordecai and Queen Esther were victorious over Haman and his planned destruction. Please visit our website at www.hiswordheals.com. Blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your home.